Let us pray. God of love, may the words of my heart, but words of my mouth begin in my heart and be a light along life's path for these, your people. Amen. One of my favorite pieces of humor is the blooper. These unique manifestations of our humanness appear from time to time in church bulletins and on church signs. Often they are typos that give a whole new meaning to a sentence or a phrase. For example, there was a sign outside a church out in Montana that said, 3 lines long, Seven Springs Christian Church. Have you ever been to hell? Welcome. Church isn't a bad place. I'm sure that church didn't realize that their sermon title was indicating something else to the visitor. Most of us, in fact, like church a lot. Writer Art Greer claims he knows why. It's because, says Greer, it's the one place bad things can't happen to them for 1 hour a week. The toilet doesn't get stopped up. The sink doesn't run over. The phone doesn't ring when you don't want it to. And the school principal can't call to say, I've got your son in my office. No, downers can't happen during that 1 hour of church. The only price you pay for that hour of bliss is the possibility of being bored by the preacher. Church is not a bad place to be. We see our friends, even if it's through Zoom. The music is uplifting. Every once in a while, we learn something new. And occasionally, we get inspired to be better people. However, it's probably true that our church, St. John, is not quite as exciting as that very first body of Christian believers. The picture that the writer of Acts gives us of that first Christian community is of a church that was very much alive. Those early Christians met together, ate together, studied together, sang together, rejoiced together, and all together had a great time. They were an active church, a celebrating church, a church that believed greatly in fellowship, service, and outreach. The second thing we note is that the early church was not only filled with life, it was filled with love. These were people who cared about each other. James Moore, in his book titled Standing on the Promises or Sitting on the Premises, tells a wonderful story about Bennett Cerf, a respected publisher and author for Random House. Because of his keen intellect and warm sense of humor, Cerf was known and often featured as a panelist on numerous television and radio programs, such as What's My Line and I've Got a Secret. One evening, Cerf appeared on an NBC radio program called Conversation. The panelists on this particular show were asked to spend the entire 30-minute program that particular night discussing just one question. What are you most afraid of? The panelists went at it, discussing and debating that topic for over 20 minutes. They talked about a wide range of fears. But finally, they decided that the one thing they were all most afraid of was annihilation by the nuclear bomb. After the panelists had reached that consensus, the moderator noticed that Cerf hadn't said a word. He hadn't even said one thing. When prodded, Cerf replied in a humble voice that he hesitated to answer, truthfully, because he was afraid that his concern would seem so trivial beside the vast issues that the others had raised, and certainly against the one that consensus had agreed upon. But again, being prompted, Cerf went on to say that what he was most afraid of was not being loved. That is the great fear that haunts all humankind. We all want to be loved. We want to be recognized. We want others to think well of us. We have a need to belong. What a great opportunity we have in the Church of Jesus Christ to create a community of people that love one another, where anyone can come in and be loved. They know they'll know we are Christians, says the hymn, by our love. The first community of believers was alive. They were filled with love. But we need to say one more thing about this group of people we heard about in our scripture this morning. They had a vivid faith in the resurrected Christ. Here is where they get their real power to love. Bob read in our scripture this morning, with great power, the apostles gave their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Here is what motivated these early believers to form a community in the first place. And here is where they found the grace to love one another with such a powerful love. They had a vivid faith in the resurrected Christ. Now, we might think that here is where they had an advantage over us. After all, they were in the presence of men and women who'd experienced the resurrected Christ firsthand. We're now 2,000 years plus removed from that experience. So how can we possibly have that same kind of intensity about our fellowship? And I suppose there are probably many answers to that question. Some of the followers of Christ experienced the risen Christ through prayer and meditation. Some experience his presence in struggling to understand the word. Others experience Christ's presence most vividly in the sacraments. But there is one more place where we might experience the risen Christ, and that is in living the life Christ has called us to live. Let me use biofeedback as an analogy. That science tells us that sometimes our emotions take cues from the reactions of our bodies. For example, we are told if we look in a mirror first thing in the morning and smile, we'll put ourselves into a good mood. It's not necessary for us to be in a good mood in order to smile. We smile and the good mood follows. Knots in our stomach may tell us that we're afraid. We may not have any consciousness that we're experiencing fear until our body tells us so. The experience precedes the emotion rather than vice versa. In the same way, many people have discovered that if they live out the Christian faith, if they seek to deliberately and intensively live out the life of love to which Jesus calls each of us, that experience is self-validating. That is, in living out that ethic and that spirit of love, we meet the resurrected Christ. And from him, just like the early Christians, we draw the power to be his disciples. In his book, Through the Valley of the Kwai, Ernest Gordon tells us that his imprisonment during the Second World War with a group of men who were charged with the responsibility of building a bridge over the River Kwai. Maybe you saw the movie. The camp had become a den of thieves, and betrayal was everywhere. Each man was out for himself. Envy and suspicion for them was the order of the day. The one good thing that the prisoners had going for them was a buddy system called the mucker system, in which buddies mucked for each other. That is, they took care of one another. In the book, he goes on to say that one man fell deathly ill, and the Japanese put him in what was called the hothouse to quarantine him. It was a bamboo hut. And if you died there, then the Japanese soldiers simply burned it down and built a new one. So once you ended up in the hothouse, there wasn't much hope for you amongst the prisoners. So as this man went into the hothouse, and as the week dragged on, the other prisoners in the camp began to anticipate his death. But at the end of the week, we're told, according to his book, to the surprise of all the prisoners, this man walked out of that hothouse. Sadly, though, his previously healthy friend, his mucker, was admitted to the hothouse and soon died. The story behind the story is that his friend, under the penalty of death, stole out each day and went to the hothouse and fed his buddy some of his own meager food. At night, again, he would slip out of his barracks and take his blanket to his buddy to help him stay warm. But in so exposing himself and depleting his own diet, he himself took ill and died. But his friend, the one who was originally sick in the hothouse, lived to tell the tale. And the result was that under the impact of his selfless act of love, the whole camp became transformed. And when the prisoners were eventually freed, those rescuers found a lively Christian community, meeting regularly for worship and caring for one another in remarkably selfless ways. All because one person felt God's presence and shared it with the others. This, my friends, is Christianity at its best. It is faith that grows out of our experience of seeking to be God's people. No, church is not a bad place to be, especially when a church is patterned after the first community of believers, when it is alive, serving human needs, when it is filled with love, born from a power of a living faith in the resurrected Christ. Amen.